Cause I can see your energy. And I'm waiting now your frequency to rise. Before you interact with me. Before you collab with me. Or try. Better get up on your frequency. If you tryna see me. Share the same space or breathe anywhere near where I be. Discipline stoners. What's your discipline? You a stoner? That's cool. So are we.
I'm high a lot. It's weird to finally say that with pride. I'm high a lot. Being high has helped me with my anxiety. It's helped my social skills. Well, it's helped me feel okay about my shitty social skills. It doesn't make my social skills better, but it sure does make sitting in that awkward moment in a social interaction a lot more bearable. You know, that moment where no one in the group has anything left to say, and you desperately want to yell at all of them, just say something. Being high makes that hilarious and not torture.
It's 11 from Anger Town. These plants just help me chill out. Found focus. Found confidence. All of a sudden I was productive. Less protective. More progressive. Yeah, we talk about stuff like I'm a next sommelier. But this is about a medicine, baby. We wish everyone a mindful life. It's been a helpful tool for us. Whatever the route to peace, it's each individual's journey. And the more we communicate, maybe we can all help each other out. Love and light. Welcome to Discipline Stoners Podcast. With your host, 11.
And my name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
Welcome back to another episode of Discipline Stoners.
I'm your host, 11.
My name is Winnie, and we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And today...
Yes, thank God.
That's so trippy.
We've practiced it 158 times. So funny. Today, our next guest is a I wrote it down and now I don't have it in front of me. Our next guest is a stand-up comedian and actor. You've seen him in Just for Laughs, New Faces in Montreal. You can listen to him in his current special called Person, which I'm so excited to get into. And if you're in the cannabis industry and you don't know this guy, you're not in the fucking cannabis industry, okay? Please welcome Natish Sakuja. I also practiced that like 17 times before. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Thank you.
It's like Sack Huge. Oh.
Sakuja, huge hack up.
Sakuja, Natish Sakuja.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you for being here, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Dude, it's so cool because we crossed paths early on.
Years ago,
like a decade.
So long ago.
And it's so beautiful to see, well, first of all, you just can't fake that shit. When you're in the cut and you're doing it and you're for real, you know, and you've been at it for time. But it's been
you can fake it.
Okay. You actually can fake it. Because I don't know where the other people who are on that bill are. But, I mean, like, to still be there at this point. You can't fake that shit, rather. But it's been so cool to see where you've gone with your career and you've grown this comedy thing into it.
Hell yeah, bro. Thank you, man.
Update us a little bit for those who may not know, which a couple who may not know. But mostly do.
You're just being nice. Fucking nobody knows.
You're hilarious, bro.
Thank you. I've been doing comedy for in November will be my 13th year.
Wow.
Just fucking grinding.
Is that your
it
longest
out.
Relationship?
My longest, the longest I've done anything besides actually breathe.
Yeah.
You know, it's the longest I've done anything. Actually,
holy
I've been jerking
dude.
Off longer.
Nice.
But,
nice.
But consistently too. But yeah. No, but comedy.
Congrats, you're healthy.
Thank you. Comedy is what I've been, it's the only thing I've ever done this consistently. And it's good, man. You know, like, it's a tough career choice because there's no path to follow.
Yeah.
There's no promotions to come.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, it's all just there's no path to, so you don't know what steps to take to make it. You're just constantly grinding, and all you can hope for is that you get you stay funny, or you start off thinking you're funny, then you get funny, and then you stay funny and get funnier.
That's, you know? That's what I with music. I definitely humbly have that. It's like I was like, I'm real good, and then you listen back and you're like, I was doing.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite where I thought I was, but I was doing.
But you need that confidence to keep going, right? In your head, you need to think you're doing the best shit ever.
It's almost delusional.
Yes, you have to be.
Yeah.
You ever met someone who tried to be an artist who was a realist?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck?
This has come up recently, and it's actually been so validating because I only sort of went full-time artist last June, so just over a year now, and I've always really thought that I had to sort of like fit into this the square, the constructs yeah. of like a lot of reality. Like mm-hmm. a lot of people are doing the 9-to-5.
Sheep. You're all sheep.
But don't they come to the shows, though? Aren't those the people who...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, we
I appreciate you for supporting the live arts, but bah, at the same time.
Well, it's this weird thing. I know myself, even as like a mindful hip-hop artist, I'm trying to give you the tools to not listen to anyone but to listen to yourself, whereas, no, I still want your subscription. Like, I still want you to
absolutely
need the release of listening to my art, but then again, I want you to have the tools of not being, but at the same time, you're currently in a mode where you're seeking guidance.
Can you guys imagine if we only relied on artists to come out to shows?
If you start comedy, you can do that.
I was gonna say, dude, have you ever seen a fucking open mic for comedy?
Yeah, that's
it's
the only one.
All comics, and no comics are listening to the comic on stage, just waiting to go on so no one can listen to them. It's super sad. But that's what makes you funny, because when you can start making a room of no one laugh, you know, you're like, there's nobody here, but I heard laughter.
Sure.
Right.
You
for
have sure. to literally build your craft
and
like a Reiki ball.
And like when I do comedy, I'm sure like you feel the same way about rap, but I need an audience there, but no offense, I don't care about them. You know, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing this for me.
Yeah. Yep.
Like you could literally murder every single person in that audience and replace them with a new audience, and it wouldn't affect the way I'm thinking about telling these jokes. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
I appreciate that there's people out there that support the arts, but I'm not here trying to do it for them.
It's not that you don't care about them if you got to know them or got to hear their stories, people, but you're absolutely right.
I'm talking about just like,
there's no context in the individuality of the crowd. You're performing for you, and you can't be making art for anyone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I've only been in it for a very, you know, short amount of time, but when I go to open mics, and because at open mics, you know, there, you're right, like it is mostly comedians and no one is listening, so it's hard to get those laughs. But I've seen people crumble up on they no longer like, they're gonna need to take some time before they step back out into the world, because they just like, you know,
it hurt.
Yeah. And I think that it's, if you're, you know, if you have that expectation or need or care about the audience, that's when that happens.
Yeah, because you know,
absolutely. Yeah. But there's a point where you grow past that.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, I know. That's learning the basics, right? Once you figure that out, you're like, okay, these guys, it doesn't matter anymore. I just need to get these jokes off, these thoughts out, process them.
Yeah.
And then you realize at some points you're like, that was horrible too.
Yes.
That sucked.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've had moments like that. Were you always interested in comedy as a young little boy?
I think I used to watch comedy like when I was younger. I'd put it on Channel 44, hoping for Just for Laughs gags.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it'd be Just for Laughs the other thing.
Is that Stand Comedy up. Central?
No, Channel 44, whatever. Comedy Central.
Yeah. It was 57 for me. I grew up in Vancouver.
Okay.
Because I used to do the same. Yeah.
Channel
the same. Yeah.
44. I love that you know that.
And I would watch, and I would like, I'd watch the gags, and then I'd love the gags. And then sometimes the stand-up would be on, and I'd be kind of like, man, I want the gags.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid, right? But then I'd watch these guys, and I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. I didn't understand. I didn't know the art form. I just saw these guys go on stage with a microphone for 5 minutes and just say hilarious shit. And I was like, I love this. And then I would start like looking forward when I would see Just for Laughs. I was like, I hope it's not the gags. Yeah. I want to see the guys.
How old were you at this point?
Like 10, 11.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I don't know. I didn't know what I was special watching. Time. Yeah. But then I got older and I never really thought about doing stand-up. And then I remember in high school, me and my friends, we just like to, especially one of my boys, this guy named Roosevelt, we used to like, we just crack jokes all the time, make fun of everybody. And he's like, yo, you should try comedy. And I don't even know how I knew, but I knew of Yuck Yucks. It's just, I don't know why.
It's just
knew
in
it,
the air.
But I just knew it.
They advertised one time in the restaurant where your parents took you.
And so then I was like, yeah, let's try it. And then I checked the website and I made a call and they said you have to be 19 to do it. So then it kind of just never entered my mind again. And went to university, dropped out of university, started working at CIBC at the call center.
Bang.
And it was the dispute center. And I was fresh out of just dropping out of my first year of university. And I was like one of the youngest guys there. Everybody was older than me. And we all like, it was my first time working in like a professional environment like this, but like we all have desks and little
areas.
Cubicles.
Yeah. You know? And then we're on the phone and then we're all hanging out. And then throughout, as I got comfortable with everybody, I was just off my phone ripping on everybody, you know, just talking shit. And once this guy came up to me, he's like, buddy, you should try stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And then no one has told me that since high school. And then I was like, man, maybe. And then I don't know what happened. I just went after work one day to Yuck Yucks downtown and just watched the amateur night. And I was watching people and I was like, yo, I think I'm funnier than this guy. I think I've never done comedy in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm funnier than this person. And then I saw the first person I saw that go up that blew my mind was on that first night. The last comic that went up was Mike Rita.
Okay.
Oh.
Right? And I was like watching this guy and I was like, he's doing jokes about crackheads fucking shimmying through the streets, you know? And I was like, yo, this guy's hilarious.
Real shit.
I've never seen anything like this before. Real shit. You know? And then I came back the next Tuesday, talked to the booker. I was like, I'd like to do it. He said, okay, we'll figure it out. I came back again the next week. I talked to him again. He's like, okay, in 2 weeks, you're guaranteed a spot.
Let's go.
So I knew, because most, the Tuesday amateur night, the way it works is you call in and request, and then on the day of, you call to see if you're on.
Okay.
And so they told me 2 weeks in advance that I was going to be on, so I had time to prepare.
Lit.
And I invited everybody I knew.
Of course.
I don't know why.
Of course. Oh, invited. No.
Was there a lot of open mics that you could go out to at that time?
I had no idea. I have never heard of stand-up comedy happening
Holy
in the city
shit.
Or whatever. I just went to Yucks. I kept going. And then the guy's like, okay, 2 weeks you're on. And I go there, and it's packed that night.
Oh,
it's packed.
My God.
I brought out like 25 people.
Yeah.
My first time ever doing stand-up.
Yep.
And I was scared as shit. I remember I probably had 200 jokes I was going to tell. I went up there, and man, like, not tooting my own horn, but to this day, I don't think I had a set that went that well. You know?
That's, I totally know that experience. We had that in the improv troupe.
Okay, it's, but you, maybe you had to have that you had to have that experience.
Literally, when I came off stage,
totally.
The girl that went up, who's hosting the show, who's awesome, Kathleen McGee. She's an awesome Canadian comic who I respect a lot, you know. But at that time, I had no idea who this lady was, but she was hosting, so I knew she was a real comic. And she came up after me and she goes, I just found out that that's that guy's first time ever doing comedy. And the audience went, what?
Yeah.
And then I got this huge applause. And then after the show, literally to this day, has never happened. There was a lineup of people waiting to talk to me after and wish me good luck on my career.
Yes.
You know, it was, and I've been chasing that dragon ever since.
Oh, dude.
That fucking dragon.
No, you know what it was? Here's the thing. It may not ever come that way again because in the contrast of your life up to that point, the people recognizing your gift, which is like, it happens in those jobs. It happens in those moments. Like, I've had people are like, why are you at this job? Like, go, and it led me to busking. Like, it's like, just go make money. The public will give you fucking cash for this talent.
Yeah.
And like, they're recognizing your gift, and you went from a momentum of hiding it to a momentum of showing it and being it. And then the way that they responded, because deep down in their souls, they're like, it doesn't matter if they're the funniest guy like you. They're like, something in me wants to manifest like that. Like that, that's your 8 mile moment.
Yeah.
Even if you, you can get all the awards for all your albums or anything or host the Oscars or whatever, all the cool shit you're going to do in your career, nothing may ever compare to that.
I don't think it's true. Nothing has yet, man. But that feeling was enough to, like, I'm still here. You know what I mean? Like,
we're glad you're still here. Yeah. You're so funny, bro.
Thanks, bro.
I'm so happy you exist in the ecosystem of life of entertainers in Toronto at this time.
You're so well spoken, dude.
He's so articulate.
You're so articulate.
I'm a bum over here with words. Like,
yeah, it's called autism.
It's so good. I had this conversation the other day with my boy. We were talking about like business acumen and shit, and all these guys were just like, how I forgot how it got, but we were talking about how business people like will always have like, I wish I could ask this billionaire one question or whatever. And I was like, man, I was thinking about Bill Gates, and I was like, I knew I'm not meant for that, because the only question I could think I'd ask Bill Gates is, yo, Bill, does your mom know you're gay? I don't know why, but if I ever meet Bill Gates, that's what I'm going to ask him.
And he's going to go, yo, someone get this guy out of here.
He's going to say no. He's going to say no, and I'm going to be like, see, so you are.
So that's so beautiful.
What if he says yes?
I'm like, oh shit! Didn't expect that, Bill. All right, carry on. As you were.
So that is your gift, though. That is your spoken portion of life. Is like you're here. You're a true comedian. Like you want to remind people it's not so serious.
It's nothing is that serious, dude.
That's really big, man. Because
do you live like that in your everyday life? Like, are you pretty like chill, level headed?
I think so. I'm a very introverted person. Mm. You know, like I do stand up comedy. It's the most extroverted thing I do, but after I come off stage, I don't want to talk to any of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm leaving. I leave shows as soon as I can, you know? And that's funny thing. When you start comedy, you're like, I can't wait to be the headliner. I can't wait to headline. And now that I'm a headliner, I'm like, dude, let me just go on first and get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
I don't care about when. I don't care. I just want to go.
Isn't that fucking crazy how the color of the night changes? Yeah. Like when you're starting, you're like, I can't shit that day. Like, it's like, oh. And then you're so excited to be there. And then you just like give it all. And then by the point you've done it hundreds of times and you're like, is there food?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, of course I'm going to do a good job. Yeah, duh. Yeah. Like, and the people are going to enjoy it. And we have a little deal now. You almost have a deal. You have a frequency that you return to when you're on stage.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes so comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, it's so nice to actually watch you, because it makes me like breathe for a minute, because you're achieving the same goal of you're getting laughs, you're getting wows, you're getting fans, like they fuck with you. And it's not so, like, I started stand up at 16 as a fan of Jim Carrey.
Okay.
So I was like full, and then when I watch you do stand up, I'm like, could have been different. Like, I'm like, you're like a Jay-Z flow that's like easy in the pocket, where it's like, I'm always trying to be Eminem over here. You know what I mean? Like, it's so beautiful.
I'm very monotone. I'm very, my delivery is very slow.
Oh, that's good.
But I was in Australia. I was doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival out there.
And
there was this comic that walked in to the show, and he was like this 70-year-old man. Never heard of him before. I can't even remember his name right now. You know? But he was like this legend out there, you know? And then he came on stage. He got on right away. When he got on, he picked up the mic stand with the microphone in it and put it to the side, and then never touched it for the rest of the show. Didn't even use it. He was just screaming and just talking so loud, so theatrical. There was a window behind him, and at one point he opened up the window and started yelling out into the alleyway.
Holy.
And murdering. It's killing inside. And then you can hear people laughing outside. And you're like, what the fuck is this? He's just destroying. And then
Holy shit.
Was like on my like second last night of being there. I was flying on acid. Okay?
We love acid.
Nice.
Yeah, me too. It's the best.
Oh,
I'm flying on acid. And afterwards, at the after party, me and my buddy Danny Martinello, we're both on acid and we're chilling, we're just laughing, giggling. And then this guy walks by and I was like, yo, that was awesome, man, right? I was like, I love what you did. You just fucking like, you're so out there. And he was like, oh, thank you. He's like, how are you guys? And I was like, chilling, we're just tripping on acid.
Yep.
And he went, no. And I was like, yeah. He's like, really? Like, he got so excited. And then he was just like in our faces talking to us.
Oh, was
and
he then, fucking with you?
I don't know, but we just started talking about comedy, but he was just so like
animated.
And it was awesome. And he's like, let me tell you something. I was like, I love how you just talk and you're so loud. He goes, he's just like, you have a voice. fucking use it, you know? And then that just, I was so high, and that just hit me so hard.
Yeah.
And no, I've been fucking struggling with this to this day about like how I'm fucking, I want to be able to express myself, be louder and scream, but it's just not in me to do. And I was on what? So when I was on that camping trip with my, with another comic, two other comics, one night we were sitting around the fire, we were on mushrooms, right?
Yeah.
And I was telling him this exact story, that you have a voice, use it. And this guy looks at me and goes, buddy, you are using your voice. You're using it in your way to kill your way.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you have to scream.
Yeah. Exactly. You know
what I mean? Use it.
Because that would be exhausting if all comics did that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but that was the first time someone put it in that perspective for me, and it made me stop thinking about it.
Bro, nice. I love that. That is such a beautiful journey of perception. Thank you for sharing that expression and that experience. I have the exact same parallel as a musician. And it was actually, it's Rob's, the studio, his son, JP, and another friend who was at the show yesterday, Justin Nizuko. They're both Toronto musicians. And they both showed me that by their performance because, you know, I'm an MC. Like, it's like, you know, I mean, it should live up to KRS-One. You know, it should be like, oh, big, and like, who's rocking with me? And, you know, I'm you know, and I'm here with you. I'm fucking murdering you and dominating you.
That's just because you're an insane person.
You got it, bro. That has nothing to do with shit. That's just me. Yeah.
That's fucking
But these
very
boys,
true.
By seeing them just, like, sit with the guitar and do a very sensitive kind of inward song, I never understood the power in that until I saw people go like this.
They start leaning into it.
You can magnetize people. Yeah. And I think you magnetize people in that special way where they're like, if you're not being loud enough for them, stop clinking your fucking glass for a minute and listen to the man. Like,
oh,
and
true.
you yeah. affect the room like that. And that's so beautiful. And that, as your friend said, that's a power in itself. Because, like, you can't even get them every time with the loud shit.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, like the guy obviously was being celebrated in Australia.
Yeah.
But, like, I use that form of fire, I call it. You're like water. And it's like, I'll use fire. And it's like, it will work. Lots. Lots it will work. But, like, sometimes there's some people that just you can't access by bang, bang, bang,
and
bang, bang.
But it's also tough. It's like, let's say you're up third or fourth, okay? You're going to do a 10-minute set rapping. But the two rappers who went before you have similar energy to you.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets, by the third time,
I would switch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do
but
it.
But you'd have to, right?
I would have to. Well, that's why I taught myself to sing R&B.
Yeah.
So I can just be like, okay, fuck y'all. Yeah. Like, if you guys just went, if I have a song that's, like, aggressive but still mindful and someone just did a song that's, like, aggressive but, like, street, I'm like, nope, R&B song.
But when you started, you went in with the same.
Always.
You did exactly what you did.
And yeah.
And it wouldn't hit the same because they just watched that energy.
So it's like how you find yourself in your own voice and you use these different tools that you develop. So what happened between that Yuck Yuck show and now? I mean, so much. But like you had to develop this tool by constantly going at it, right? Why do you not give up and shit? Because that's fucking...
So when I started, it was like I entered this new world, met all these crazy... I was 19 years old. And
so
I was
fun.
Like, I was hanging out with kids older than me. I was the youngest. I was always the youngest everywhere I went, right? There was a couple comics that were younger than me, but they weren't around like that, you know? And then not only was I hanging out with kids a little bit older than me, I was hanging out with 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
Fucking 50-year-olds. Yeah. I was hanging out with 60-year-olds. Yeah. And I'm like, in my life of 19 years, I never imagined that I would have a 60-year-old friend.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, that I'm smoking weed with.
This shit makes you not ageist.
I know. It's true, right? Because it's not... I have comics that are older than me that call me like big brother because we're at different parts of our career.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's so weird.
It is, but it's just
lovely.
Because you join similar. I feel you. You join this kind of like league of almost philosophers where you're all equal. The only power of substance is how you execute to that audience. Like
And your peers, the other comics, they recognize that, and it becomes this like a respect. The totem pole will naturally create itself.
The hierarchy exists just on that flat respect of like, did they not fucking crush?
Yeah.
Like that's godly power.
Exactly.
That's like spiritual. It's beyond like this physical skin. It's
exactly. You don't need someone to like rank you guys. You guys know.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Everybody knows what's up.
The legends speak for themselves.
Right.
Like, internally.
Yeah.
Mm.
But like I started, like I went full throttle into it. Like I had nothing else going on. I dropped out of school. My job, shit, you know? Like, my parents are not, definitely not happy with my life decisions. So I would go out every night, and I would do, like, when, like, before the pandemic, because the pandemic really changed everything, like...
Oh, man.
I was, like, at that time, man, I was doing 13, 12 years ago when I started, I was doing, like, 20, 25 shows a week.
Yeah. What?
Every week. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, there was mics every night, and I fucking, sometimes I'm... When I first started, my parents had moved to Brampton, so I was taking a GO bus every night to Toronto to do gigs and then hopefully catch my bus back.
Oh, my God.
When you ever have a fucking matchstick anything of envy, shut the fuck up and know, did you take a GO bus?
Bro, it was worse. And then you miss the bus sometimes, and then you have to take the fucking TTC up to Steeles, up to the... fucking border, and then get as close as you can before you call somebody and tell them you fucked up. You know what I mean? But it would happen so often.
Are you buying homies Timmy's so they can come scoop
no,
you?
No, I'm talking straight up my mom or my brother, oh, you know, because all my friends lived in Rexdale. We grew up in Rexdale, but my parents moved out to Brampton right around that time when I started comedy. So I was like, I had no friends in Brampton. I had nobody in Brampton. All my people were in Toronto. So
do you know Humble?
Humble the
poet?
Like, you know,
it's Rexdale. Yeah, sick.
But he's older than me. You know what I mean?
Did your parents come to your first show?
No, they don't really come to my shows now.
Have they been to one?
They've both been to them. I think my mom gets kind of like embarrassed.
Oh my God, why?
I mean? I don't know. She just like she just gets kind of like. Cute. I just see her always go like this, you know, which is fine because like cute. I also say things that I like. We have a cool relationship, but we're not like, we weren't friends ever.
Fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Fair.
So like,
she played a role.
Yeah, and we've never talked about anything. You know what I mean? So like, I talk to my parents, but we don't really talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and as I've done comedy and like videos have gone more viral and they've seen more things, you know, they know who I am. I talk, the way I talk to you right now is now how I talk to everybody in my life, no matter who it is.
Right.
You know, my parents, everybody. They know, everybody has accepted it.
Yeah.
But at that time, when I first started, it was like, man, I don't want these guys to see the shit I'm saying. You know, they're going to get so mad. Yeah. Right?
But, oh, really?
I mean, that's what I thought anyway. Okay. You know, I wasn't.
Did it ever, like, did that, like, two different personalities, like, did you differentiate between who you were on stage and, like, who you
Your
felt you should
self.
Be off stage
just,
as a young person?
As a young person, who I was on stage was not a person.
Yeah.
Because when you first start comedy, you don't have a voice.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of doing is finding your voice so you can be you.
Bro.
You know, when you start, you write a script. You're like, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say this. And then you go up there, and now the hard part is to remember the way I'm going to say these things so you're not even being you. And then you're like, okay, I got this memorized. I'm saying it as I'm saying it. But if anything goes wrong and I go off script, everything is off the rails. I don't know where I
it's
was.
It's a little bit where
I
I'm
don't
at
know,
still.
You know? And then
nailing this.
But then you get to a point where you're like, okay, I know what I'm going to say. I know what I'm going to say. And I know what order is going to come in. And I've memorized that. And now you're starting to just say it with a little bit of personality, but you can deal with hecklers now. Not good, but you can deal with them. You know, there's a way to at least stop it from happening so you can continue. And then you keep going.
Okay, maybe I'm here.
Right?
This
and
is my level right now.
You get to a point where you're like, you know what? I can do my bits without having to worry about how I'm holding my hand, how I'm standing. What I'm just working on my bits now. And then you get to a point where you're like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. I know I'm going to do comedy. I know I have these bits that I want to do. I don't know what order I'm going to do it in, right? And then you go up there and you're like, okay, now I'm working with my bits in free form. I don't, like, I'm doing my bits. It's all bits, but I don't know in what order they're coming, you know? But I know I have these many bits. Let's pick a bit out of a hat in my head, and now I'm working with that.
Oof.
But then you get to a point where you're like, I'm going to go up there tonight and see how long I can go without using a bit.
Full trust.
You know
you can be
funny,
there.
Because I'm funny. You know?
You just like, walked us through mastery, bro.
Yeah, like, literally.
Because, like, the hardest part about doing comedy is, like, people go up there and they're like, they try to be funny.
Don't be.
But you ever worked with someone who tries to be funny? And you're like, yo, this guy's trying to be funny.
It's exhausting.
Not funny. You're funny. Trust that you're funny. And when you trust yourself, there's a pretty good chance you won't let yourself down. You know what I mean? Like,
that's so nice.
Yeah, there's a.
This is the clip for this episode for sure. You just walked us through mastery. That was beautiful.
That's where I'm at right. The point that I'm at right now is like, I can probably do like, you know, I don't know. It depends on the day how I'm feeling, but I can free flow. But I'm at a point right now where I'm trying to figure out like, I don't know what I want to talk about.
Deeply the message.
Yes.
The core refined message. Exactly. So I think it's the, for me, the element of that empowerment is what I always chase because I feel you. I walked up those steps too. And you're right. You're like looking at it and then you realize you can make eye contact with them and now you can play it around. Yes, and it's exactly. Like you have your energetic gift is so able to like come on when it's time to perform and you can like give that light. And then you're right. It's like, what do I want to use this power for? Like, how does this go beyond a party trick? Like you know, exactly. Large entertainment that, like, why was Chris Rock so impactful? Because he was like, at the time, it was important.
Yeah.
How can we align ourselves with an impactful message as, like, bit of sorcery going on? Like, when you get into that free flow ability.
Where when you're in the pocket, the zone, whatever you call it. It's
trust
pocket.
Yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to do everything that you've said resonated so hard because I've recently know we've been having those discussions about authenticity and when it's time to be so. And I'm with you, bro. I think a hundo P is easier for everyone because if you don't have any surprises, you won't have any expectations that won't land.
Yeah.
Right? So absolutely. It's like, if you think my character's one way, it's like, oh, please don't get it fucked up. Like, there's zero fucks being given. Like, I'm not going to perform for you. Like, you know, I can. And then once you find that, you can express in an authentic way.
So my buddy told me this. I didn't hear it direct. I think he said Mark Maron said this, but he told me. I haven't, you know? But he was like there's a difference between, like, I'm not out here to kill. You know what I mean? If I kill on a night, that's sick. It's just a byproduct of what happened. But I'm not in my intention is not going in. If I want to kill, I can kill pretty much every night by just, I know what bits I have. I can pick out my closers from all my bits. And if you want me to kill, I'll do a 7-minute or 10-minute, 15-minute of all my closers.
If there's someone from Crave in the audience or Netflix in the audience, you know you're coming with the heavy artillery.
Exactly.
But these are weekly book gigs or whatever.
This is like even, I'm talking Friday night sold out at the corner, Saturday night sold out at the corner.
Yeah.
That is not a show that I'm going to come and bring my fucking bangers that I'm that's the perfect audience to work on my brand new shit with.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Because they'll tell me right away if it's good.
The energy is so real, you can't lie. They're either resonating or not.
Yes, cuz comedy is the only art form that they'll tell you right away if it sucks.
And that's exhilarating.
You know?
They can't lie because you're looking for that real reaction. You're not looking for even the performative laughs. Like, you know that shit?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
No. Like, you want
to. You're looking at. You can hear the comics laughing in the back sometimes, and you're like, no one in the audience laughed, but I hear the comics laughing in the back. And in my head, I'm like, okay, it's either because it's actually super funny, it is, right? And they're letting you know, or they're laughing at you. Because that bomb's so bad. You know what I mean? They're like, that was so bad that it's funny.
Oh,
you know?
Shit.
So you got to differentiate that. But you can do that by also looking at the audience, right? Because, like, they give you two different kinds of faces when they don't like it.
Right.
Because it's like, if they don't like it and they actually don't like it, it's kind of like a, like, you're just, like, an uninterested. But if they like it and it wasn't funny, they're smiling. They're into it. Their body language is telling you that, you know, you had something there.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
It's all about reading what they're giving you.
That's a spiritual gift. That will help you travel, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That'll tell you what CSA agent to go to.
Yeah, yeah, fuck.
How did the Australians like you?
That was probably one of the, because I went last year, so I was, 11 and a half years in? Straight up, probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to adjust to in my life in comedy, because for the first time, in my 12 years, I went back to nobody knew who the fuck I was. Yo. Nobody cared who the fuck I was. There was no, like, I felt like an open micer again.
Oh,
you know, kind of fun though to have to prove yourself a bit.
I guess, but there was only 6 weeks of this festival. You know, I'm there for 5 weeks. My first 3 weeks of that fest, like, was literally asking and begging for spots extra on top of what I had, you know, to show people that I could showcase for them. And then by the last 2 weeks I was there, I started finally getting shows and putting on, and I started getting my footing because the audiences are different there, you know. I find them very rowdy, some of the most drunk audiences I've ever had in my life.
It feels like they can handle alcohol better, so or something. Well,
the shows are so rowdy that like the comics all out there are snipers. They can deal with hecklers so well.
Because you have to be
able to. But like material wise, North America, no one's doing it like we're doing it in America and Canada.
Yeah? You know? We got bars?
I think so.
I agree, bro.
I feel like it's a different culture out here. Where like, I feel like comedy's ahead. Maybe in the UK too, but even there, it's kind of like a. It seems like more rhythmic than it does.
Yeah.
Like here, you can hear a message delivered in a joke.
The cognitive lyrics. You know? Bang.
Yeah.
Here.
Yes.
Again, that's what we say. At this point, when you've conquered your craft or you have some form of mastery or you can play with it and perform, that's why it's important to attach a message. Because you're like, who do I work for? Like, I'm not fucking working for, like, being a fucking sheep perspective. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
I'm trying to break through here. And that's kind of like, you're a philosopher.
I would like to consider myself an amateur philosopher.
That's it. I say that I'm a budding philosopher because when you influence thought and you perceive and consider thought, which is what you're doing, is just like, hey, how about this? You are most definitely like philosophizing about the present.
It's just funny because I like to call myself a philosopher, but then like, yo, I talk about cum sometimes. You know what I mean?
Why shouldn't a philosopher talk about cum? Exactly, we all come from it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was talking about. It's like I started saying this on stage. People say that it's so like lowbrow comedy cum, but I'm like, cum is such a high level topic in itself. Like, what is cum?
Cum's
break
expensive.
It down, you know what I mean? It's fucking it's the nectar that keeps this going, you know what I mean? It's pretty high level shit, the you know
life,
what I'm saying?
The life jam.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I don't think it's lowbrow.
That's highbrow.
I don't think that's lowbrow at all.
Well, I talk about it a lot, so I hope not.
And also, like, Alan Watts, fucking even Joe Dispenza is, like, talking sex organs and stuff in his mindful chats. Ram Dass, he would bring in sex all the time.
Chapter 13 of Think and Grow Rich is sexual transmutation of sexual energy. Like, to fuel your desires, they say don't jerk off and, like, put that energy towards there. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you got 33 vertebrae or some shit. Christ was 33 in this bitch in that story they got going. And it's all about just saying, like, how to meditate and shit and, like, get that kundalini energy popping.
It's very real.
It's all about sex.
Are you? Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask you if you're religious.
I'm not religious. I'm very spiritual. I believe in the mushroom.
You know what I mean?
I don't subscribe to anything, but that would be close for sure.
Right here, we got matching mushy tattoos, bro.
Fuck yeah.
It's a beautiful plant.
Spiritual, you know?
Or fungus.
I believe in the universe.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Cool.
You know, energy. It's just.
Yep.
It's just all energy, I guess. But I don't know. There's UFOs and shit now. I don't know what's going on, you know?
They're just interdimensional beings.
Yeah, just that. Why the fuck are we going to work tomorrow then, bro?
You don't have to.
Well, I'm not, but you know what I'm saying? But
you are. Aren't you doing stand-up?
I feel society. Like, I feel blessed. Stand-up doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
I agree.
It's like now with this being healthy and going to gym and everything, it doesn't feel like I'm getting up and going to work. It doesn't feel like this thing I wake up in the morning and I'm like, my body's like, all right, let's go. There's something we do every morning.
I gotta give you huge congrats and props on that, brother. Man, you've been killing it. You look great.
Thank you, man.
Yes, more health, great. More
you
life.
Know, I feel so good.
It compounds, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, you do it and it's like really shitty and hard at first to like get it going, but then once it's on a flow, you got that flow you're saying now.
So I'm 3 years in now. I started just before COVID started in November of 2019 and like, before that, just before that, whatever. The day I turned 29, I hit up my boy and I was like, people are telling me it gets hard after 30. I was like 265, 270 at that time. And I was like, I want to I want to be fit before I'm 30. Mm. And he's like, all right, let's go. And I started, and I probably lost, like, I'm 3 years in. But at that time, the most I lost at that point was, like, I got down to, like, 180.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just skinny.
Mm.
You know, like, I was straight. Like, it looked weird.
Yeah.
You know, and I, because that's not what I expected in my head when I thought I'd lose weight. I automatically thought I'd be jacked.
Yeah. It doesn't replace. You have to go the other way. You have to touch back base and then create healthy foundation.
That blew my mind on how hard it is to create muscle.
It sucks because you got to eat right and sleep right.
Change the whole game, bro.
The whole game.
And then so like I plateaued for a bit. And then
recently you've been making some great progress,
well,
though.
A month ago.
What
month
have you
and
been
a half
doing?
Ago,
yeah.
I was like 212.
Okay.
Because I felt like I plateaued. I was eating whatever I wanted, but I was still working out every day.
I feel you.
And literally just a month and a half ago, I cut out carbs and sugar for the most part.
Okay.
And I'm fucking 185 today.
Honestly, bro.
Whoa.
A month and a half.
Holy.
But
fuck.
That's
because
I've been working out so long, I think my body was like, finally, bro.
That's there we go.
It had to catch up. And there's a dormant stage where it's either releasing like small built-up sugar molecules or different fat cells that have just been storage, like dormant and not showing themselves or expanding. It's either that or it's like energetically your body's pattern is like, I don't trust you. Like you come and go.
I was literally eating like shit every day. I ate whatever the fuck I wanted. The only thing I kept consistent was I was working out every morning.
So it's good.
I still was doing that.
For the brain.
But I was eating like shit.
And would you do like 60 minutes in the morning? What's your workout like?
I go meet up with my boy. He's a trainer. Yeah. We just work out together. You know, talk shit.
Intuitive training, so it's different all the time?
Yeah. He's like my trainer, so he has a plan for me. You know what I mean?
Dope.
He's another comic, and I just go in, and it's fun. We just talk shit all morning for an hour and a half, and then I come home, you know?
So that's all sorts of but cathartic
literally,
happening
yeah, exactly.
at the gym.
But the last month and a half was just cutting out bread and sugar is the biggest difference I felt in my 3 years of working out. It made all, it just.
Was that as challenging as I feel in my head it would
be? At first it was for the first couple days because I was just frustrated. I was like, I think I'm getting fat again because I started getting bigger. I was like 212, you know, I got down to 180, but I was like, I had a little bit more muscle, but I was like getting big again. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what? Everyone was always telling me it's diet. And I was like, nah, if you can work out hard enough. But then I just did it, and straight up, I've realized I feel better. Like how it made me realize how bad the bread and the sugars that we're consuming are.
Yeah,
you know, unless you're eating natural, homemade bread, like anything processed, is so bad.
For you. Go to a bakery.
Yeah.
You know, go to it, like get a big round.
Like real, real homemade shit. Nothing
we
processed.
Have that in Toronto too. Yeah. We're lucky.
And you can get like I got a whole thing. we did this cooking show and I made this banging sandwich and I wanted it to be this beautiful sourdough. And I got like this whole fucking round thing started for $3, bro.
Hell yeah. I love sourdough. Probably my favorite bread.
It's the best
and
bread.
Slice it and sear it so it's crispy.
Buddy. And now I have like, I'll have carbs and shit once in a while. And it's just so much better.
Yeah.
It's like a treat, you know?
Yeah.
And I go, fuck yeah.
We've been hitting the chips late night.
Miss chips. I love chips.
Chips are delish. Yeah. I smashed the whole bag. And she's like, are we going to assess this behavior and talk about it? And I'm like, listen, we've dove in now. We're going to smash this whole bag tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to accept this addiction. It's salt. I like the salt.
I
feel you.
Yeah, fuck.
But what is this?
You need to address it
joint.
For sure.
Let's smoke it.
I mean, what strain is it?
It's a mixture of something called Gas Face and Mike Tyson.
Can I try some of your giant joint?
Hell yeah. I would be honored.
Bro, you're... can we talk about your partner? Can we talk about how cool you guys are?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a power couple? Kind of like a weed power couple?
Hell yeah.
Dude. I love that, dude. That's so beautiful. Not just for entertainment, but also being disciplined stoners, being part of the cannabis industry. I'm like, fuck yes.
I just heard it.
I know. I'll go fix that. But yeah, fucking you and Spliff are killers.
Oh, thanks,
Spliff
man.
Swikedzy.
Yeah.
For those who aren't sure. Gosh. Which we'll have her on as well. It was... going to be the four of us, and then it's the three of us, and then it'll be the
Which
four
so
of us one day.
We had a lot to cover.
She's a killer. She's a hustler. She's doing it, you know, whatever we're doing.
Yeah,
doing
what are it, that's know? Where I'm at right now. I'm 35, and I'm like, I really don't know anymore. I really don't know, and for the first time, I think I'm very okay with that.
You know what? That's the fucking trip because my whole life you grow up and you look at people doing life and you're like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And then you grow up and you're like, why don't I know what I'm doing?
Yeah. Mm.
And then you talk to people and you're like, oh, you don't know what you're doing either? Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. And as much as they tell you they know what they're doing, it's probably what they know what they're doing in the next little while. But nobody has a fucking plan. Yeah. What the? You're lying to me and you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
You're hoping that things go in a certain way. We all are. But yeah. You don't have a fucking... What are we doing? No, because at the end of the day, no one knows how we got here and why we're here and what the original purpose is. But every day we wake up and try not to ask that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Every day people wake up and they're like,
but it's such a liberating actually thing to ask.
I think about it constantly. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? And why is it like this? Because I know whatever we're doing, this is not how we're supposed to be doing it. I'm just lucky I'm not depressed. Because if I have my mind and I'm depressed, I would 100% kill myself.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Because you ask too many questions.
Too many questions. But yeah. I'm like,
I think.
What's going on, dude? You know?
We are a spirit having a human experience. And in order to come to this dimension, you have limited confines that you decided on. Like, that would be neat. Wouldn't that be neat if? And we separate ourselves as, like, these individual ego identities to like tell stories and learn from each other. That's why it is actually so divine what you're doing as a comedian and a philosopher. But you're right. There's this looming conscious question that's constantly like either what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And can I do it better?
Yeah.
I think that's just generally the state until you're gone.
Yeah, but
I think so. Until we have a real answer.
But I think also like this is so sweet, you know?
Senses, I love this.
Like our senses.
The best.
It's so sweet.
That's that's why we're on top of the food
can't
chain.
Imagine interdimensional beings like having feelings the way that we have feelings, you know?
The way I can just catch
them. There's probably people out there who have an extra feeling that we don't even know exists yet. And you're like, wait till you feel this. And you're like, what the fuck? I can't even imagine.
An extra feeling. Dude,
I imagine heroin might get you to a place that you haven't felt before.
I heard heroin feels like a sunrise in your heart.
That's lovely.
Isn't that sound amazing?
Oh, I'm never going to try it.
One day when I'm old.
That's what I said.
That's a good idea.
When I know I'm going to go out soon, if 95.
I'm, if I'm old and someone's already pushing me in a wheelchair, fucking let's do heroin, bro. If you already have this guy here to push me around, let's fucking go.
Yo, get him to do the needle, too.
Yeah, what the
fuck? I don't got to look away.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is fucking amazing.
You'll probably just die in ecstasy, right? So that would be nice, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
You'd be able to, access that God feeling, that
Thank
acceptance.
Thank you.
That's a beautifully rolled joint. Did you roll that?
Hell yeah.
You're a fucking king.
There's one thing I do well in life is roll joints.
Jesus Christ.
That's the talent I would say that I have.
This is one of the most beautifully well-packed joints.
Do you roll quickly?
I can roll pretty quickly. I can roll solid blunts. I like rolling.
It's something about you get in the flow state.
Yeah, I love that whole process of when I first started smoking weed, I fell in love with weed and I was like, buddy, I love this.
When did that happen? How old are you?
I probably smoked weed for the first time when I was 14, but I fucking fell in love with it when I was 17.
Okay.
Away at university for my first year.
University at 17?
Yeah, because I'm a year younger. My birthday is in November, so my mom had the option of starting me early or starting me late.
December 24th. Right? I went so early.
I'm younger than everybody, all my friends, always.
Dude, that's what's up.
That's interesting theme even through comedy as well. You've
but not anymore. When I first started comedy, people would be like, yo, how old are you? 19. They're like, oh, you're going to be so young.
You stop getting that around 30, 25.
Now people ask me, how old are you? 32. Oh, sick. All right.
You should have made it.
Fuck.
I know. It's such a weird feeling. You go through all sorts of self-worth dips as you age. I wasn't expecting that.
Right?
I thought I was going to be like, oh, my God. But I guess I also thought I was going to be somewhere else that I'm not. So.
Life has a way of humbling us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like where I am, though, at the same time.
But that's what you learn in the humbleness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're like, I had this talk with my boy the other day where I was, complaining about my career and shit. And he was like, but what? what about the rest of your life? Like, how much is enough? You know?
And then, good question.
And that fucking hit me hard because I'm like, yeah, how much is enough? You know? And then you always hear about people saying, oh, enjoy the journey, not the destination. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, where I got to where I wanted, I realized it wasn't where I wanted to be. You hear all this shit all the time. And then you constantly find yourself being in that. And it's like, fuck, man, relax. Check yourself sometimes and be like, fucking enjoy everything.
Yes.
You know? Stop worrying about the fucking tomorrow when you literally, you have right now and look, it's good.
It's like, good.
You know what I mean? We're not in any dire.
This right here, you always land on like, oh my God, this is so cool. And like those moments, the yuck yucks or like, you know, the open mics or whatever, or the earlier stages, bless. And then, you know, you'll go on to do stadiums, but at the end of your life,
one day, bro,
it's all going to be in the same category of like amazing. Like, that's like, I had the dream of doing the Comedy Store, and I did, but underage. Like main stage and got there and did it. And in my dream, I was rich and famous. So that felt like that. Yeah, but I was still there with like only a couple G's to my name and a couple months left in LA. And
we made a little stretch.
We made a lot stretch to a little. But
that's what it is.
Those earlier days doing open mics in Vancouver as a comedian were equally as like now. From now thinking back. And those moments are still like divine. Like everything is going to be impactful. We're just not labeling it that because it's like Tuesday right now for you or something, you know? And but it's like, no, you're going to remember today as well. Like the shit all counts. Like we're, it does all count.
We're treating it like that rapper who had to go to America and come back.
Drake.
Or anyone for us to respect them.
1,000%
And that our own lives, we're waiting for them to move on, and so then we can reminisce about it. When you're literally in it right now,
you can be their friend and support and go to their show, like when they're selling like their own tickets. But it's like they want to see. I talk about this too with musician friends about like you almost want validation from the mainstream. Like you want to almost get offered from a label so you can say no, just so you know you're good enough.
Yeah.
or some famous person collaborate with you so you know that you're like in the same caliber, you know? And then once you have that, you can return back to your own little den and build that up.
Yeah, exactly. Because now you got the cloud of the people who are, because even the people who are looking for that matter shit see the other stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
That's why it's mainstream, right?
Yeah. Do you meditate?
I try to. I'm very...
Or do you have any, like, daily routine practices?
Do you sit in silence?
I sit in silence all the fucking time.
Yeah.
All the time. Where my girl's like, why are you this way?
That's beautiful, man.
Silence is so nice. I can't get any of it with this guy around.
Winnie's the you. Winnie's the you.
I can just sit there and not say anything for hours.
Yeah. You know,
hours.
I have a lot to learn from you guys. That's the truth. It's like, I'm deciding on one thought should be manifest into spokenness. And so I'm like being a dominant prioritizer of the ether. Whereas silence, you guys can move through thought in peace without exploding.
But it's also bad sometimes, like when I'm chilling with my girl and she'll like ask me a question. In my head, I'm responding. But I don't say anything.
I know that. I absolutely understand what you're saying.
You're the Winnie, bro. That's why we're compatible, because you're the Winnie.
She's fucking, she's so mad at me. She's like, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
Do you know your astrological sign?
Yeah, I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh, November, December.
November 28th.
Oh.
This is Jupiter right here on my neck.
Very good.
That's my planet.
You know, that's abundance.
That's my planet. Yeah.
888. Yeah. That's abundance.
Yeah. Wow. It's literally so I don't get all into this shit. I'm fucking like Hindu and shit, you know? So
yes.
That's where I was raised. I'm not right now, but like my birthstone is a yellow sapphire.
Oh.
Right? Which I'm wearing right now.
And that's
which
Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Whoa! You know?
And it fucking it's just, yo, bro, I'm all about space and shit. I love it.
You're literally sitting in front of space. Like, this shot is so sick. Like, you that?
It's just a manifestation of energy and, like, yo, everything is so connected. You don't even know.
Have you ever seen a psychic?
Not like a real psychic, but like my friend would be mad that I said that. But like she's like she's fucking around with the cards and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've had her read me a few times.
Nice.
I've never gone to like a real psychic.
Yeah. Do you enjoy like a tarot reading?
Fuck yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I always
love that shit.
I love the tarot. Yeah. I'm very.
Tell me what you want to hear. Yeah. Tell me what I want to hear. Because everybody who's done it, I haven't heard anything bad yet. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah, it's never supposed to be. Yeah, I don't think it's ever supposed to be bad. Okay, if there's someone that's like, oh my God. Yeah. Like the death card and shit.
And I'm like,
and the tower and stuff. Like people always like.
Tell them when I pulled before LA one time.
The devil, was it?
I pulled the death card.
Okay.
The devil card.
Okay.
And one of the towers where everything is like falling down. And it's like.
Was that on September 10th? 2001.
Yeah, that just happened. Do you remember where you were?
Yeah, I was in school in grade 6. And an announcement came on and said, everybody, there has been a terrorist attack in New York City.
I know. Can you
go, and then they fucking. And I was like, huh? What?
Why
and then
was
they,
that necessary?
Then they rolled in the TV. And for fucking no way, we have cable, apparently. We could fucking. So we were watching the fucking thing. And then.
Holy fuck.
And we went home, and the next day, the teacher was like. So after everyone, you've probably been watching the news at home and stuff, right? And she's
why
like,
they're
like, anyone want to talk about what happened yesterday? Does anyone know the name of the terrorist? And this one girl went, put her hand up. She's like, I think I can say it. She's a Somalian girl. I'm like, you know how to fucking say it. You know how to say it. Don't give us that bullshit. She's like, Osama Bin Laden?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no, that was the first time I heard it. Thinking back, I'm like, this bitch knew. She knew how to say it. Why are you fucking giving us this bullshit?
Bro. That's...
We just done that.
That's so funny.
Fucked up.
I didn't think it was that funny until you made me think about it again.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I
couldn't help but laugh at that. I had a similar experience. I was in grade 7.
Well, what happened?
It didn't come in over the intercom, I don't think, but the TV got wheeled in.
Yeah, right? And we had cable all of a sudden? You're like, what the fuck? How long have we had cable for?
Holy fuck, dude.
Fuck, what a weird thing that we all like tuned into. Like,
how many TVs program did our school have, bro? What the fuck?
Dude.
How many? Yeah, fuck. That's
know?
True. Did everyone get a TV?
Right? If you saw it and I saw it and we were different schools.
I was in Vancouver.
Yeah, I was
and
in Alberta.
They brought a TV in for you too?
TV, man.
Buddy, what did they fucking, September 10th, they sent out TVs to everybody, bro. They're like, get ready, there's something happening tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you what. Fucking get ready.
I'm gonna fucking
on
this.
You have a comedy. You're hosting a comedy show called Dope Ass Comedy.
Yeah, it's
coming
it's,
up.
It's my. Whenever I put on a show, I call it the Dope Ass Comedy Show, because it's fucking. I hope it's dope.
Yeah.
You know. This one's gonna be on a rooftop.
Yeah.
College and Manning, my boy's house. He has. They're gonna demolish the building. Next month and his last month there, and he has a sick rooftop. So we're gonna go.
Oh, that's so cool.
We got like 50 seats up there. We're going to have booze and food available. Bring your own weed. You can buy weed. Fucking.
You should buy weed.
Yeah. It's going to be dope. We're going to have some rappers come through. 11, you can come through.
Okay, I'll come
through. I'm officially asking you.
This will be up before then. So we'll put that link in the description below.
Yeah, come perform.
Lit. Let's go on this fucking rooftop party and bust it up. Yo, I wanted to talk about that fucking 9/11 thing. I was just, our camera situation just died, and that was funny. What the fuck was with like pre-internet programming? Like that was the media pollution of like, you know, the conspiracy folks would say like this is like kind of the agenda of like the systematic perception of like breeding fear with the enemy that they were going to go to war with that justified so much money in wars in the coming years.
They can't like
they made the face of the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they actually through the lens of education, because it was institutional system-based education, if you went to. It wasn't, I don't think they did that in private schools.
Yeah, probably not.
If your parents are paying for you to actually learn, they're not paying for you to get programmed. This isn't, so when you're public school, it's advertisement. You know when you go on the free version?
Yeah, exactly.
And you get the ads?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were programming you from then, before the internet, and we just forgot about it.
It's true.
Now, since we have the internet now, it's like, no more free speech. In Canada, you can't say the news on Instagram. Dog, it's been this way.
Yeah, yeah.
They just lost grasp for a minute when the internet had its birth. But that shit is fucking nuts how they indicted,
like,
they indicted kids with a narrative. That shit bred fucking mad racism. That shit bred... like the polarizing that we experienced over the pandemic, that shit, like, that was fucked up that that came up. I'm sorry I had to rip on that. I know that's like a little too real to say.
You know what's blowing my mind?
But I felt like I was watching you on a podcast as I was over there. I'm like, oh, if I could jump into this reality, I will do it. Oh my God, I can.
What's blowing my mind thinking about that is when I was in grade 6, I didn't know private schools existed.
Right?
I didn't know that there was rich kids going to richer schools.
You weren't in the tax bracket to have that information.
Oh, shit. I was like, I thought we all just went to public school.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess that's why public school. I thought public school was...
School.
Yeah, because the only difference was Catholic school.
Yeah.
Yes.
And okay, Catholic, that's true. That's not public.
You didn't want to go there.
But it is public. It's just Catholic public.
Word.
Do you have to be Catholic to go to Catholic schools?
Not at all.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Cool, trippy.
Sorry, I'm hogging this deliciousness.
Do you believe in the law of attraction?
I think so. I think energy attracts energy. Mm-hmm. The type of energy you're putting out brings that same type of energy towards
you.
So
follow up then, like, do you believe in, like, creating your reality?
Manifestation. Yeah, I think so. I fucking hurry up and manifest. it's hard. It seems like it takes fucking forever, I guess. But, I mean... Yeah, I think so. I try to practice that. You know?
Yeah.
That's dope. I think that space in between is learning not to separate ourselves from the goal. I'm still unraveling it myself. And it's like,
yes.
Said dream is here. I'm here. Why do I not perceive it as this?
Yeah.
I've been broken to tell me it's outside of me. Mm. It's not. It's this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that mastery.
Exactly. It's what we were talking about before. It's as you asked me that question and I was yelling at the world to hurry up, I realized that you're living it right now.
It is you.
You're here.
You're
already.
On a pod. You're a loved comedian. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this is sick. Fucking, it's true. Yes. Life is blessed.
But I think it's nice to have an idea of what
Where
you might
wanna
want.
Where you
want
to go.
Yeah.
You what you might want to experience in the future.
We
want to
be doing Madison Square Garden tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would like this. I would love to... take comedy to a point where I can cut out these extra side hustles,
yeah,
you know, and just travel the world and do comedy.
I want to shut down my OnlyFans, too.
That would be really nice. So what'd you wish for?
I was just going to say, I want to shut down my OnlyFans, too.
Yeah. Some gotta pay. Do you? Do you really want to shut it down?
I don't
think
you
do.
I'm an exhibitionist. No, but respect, bro. That's definitely, that is on track. That is on schedule. You just find something to do while you're waiting at the train station of life while that dream comes to manifest. I feel like
then you hope not to get fucking your life enthralled in that thing you're doing where you fucking missed the bus.
Right. You don't want to put on your headphones and go in the elevator of the subway station or whatever.
Exactly.
You don't want to get distracted in the airport terminal. You want to stay on time and attentive. And I think that's what the intention setting is. I think every time you go in, like when you start to dream about the message, the core energy that this like thing is facing towards or like focused in that direction, something magical happens there in space. It's almost like who you serve. It's like the universe is just energy and there's these different pockets of people and we identify them as like culture, like different pockets of culture, people who react.
I love that you keep saying, who do you serve? Like when you're out there, what do you want to talk about? Like who am I working for right now?
Yeah.
Which is so sick because it's like,
they're the boss.
Yeah.
they pay the tickets.
Yeah,
like,
right. And I'm like, what do I want to talk about? Who do I want to give this to, you know? So who do I give this?
Because you look at reality through such a lens that is a gift, bro. Like, you're like an anxiety zapper. You're like weed. And it's very nice. And it's
you're like weed.
It's a colorful gift. And it's like whatever you decide to lend that to, yeah, it's so powerful. But they meant that's just you being that, like, you know, just conscious and alive. It's like a reminder, a tap, tap, tap. It's okay, chill the fuck out.
Yeah, chill the fuck out.
Like, that's kind of nice.
But then it's like you don't even realize. It's hard to, like, I don't know, sometimes I stress out, obviously. You know,
yeah,
like,
do you ever, yeah, it's hard to be the thing that you are even being sure. All the time.
It's hard to, like, I think I did DMT one time, and I fucking, the realization that I came out of from that was protecting your energy, you know? And it's like,
wow.
Like, and it means being selfish sometimes, you know? Because I'm talking, like, to your kids, your mother, your wife, absolutely. Everybody. Because if you can't be you, how can you be you around anybody else? You know what I mean? Like, if you can't help anybody, if you can't help yourself.
Bars.
Right? It's fucking...
Bars.
Protect your energy.
Fuck.
So that's like, if anybody's like... Sometimes me and my girl fight, right? And like, I'll get pissed off and my energy's off. And like, I could tell she knows my energy's off. But I'm like, why did I let myself even let that happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but that's and that's so hard to do continuously on an everyday basis.
Totally,
but it's definitely something I would like to do. You know, it's like just to maintain. You know,
yeah.
There's like there's no true thing that is like happiness. You know, like that that joyous feeling. Because if that feeling is there, there's an imminent low.
Absolutely.
Nearby, right. So what you want is to fucking just
maintain,
bro. Yeah. All right, don't get too high. Don't get too low. And if you're in the middle, that's where.
Yeah.
That's where the opposite of the middle is the middle. You know what I mean?
The sweet spot.
Yeah.
The like, sweet spot.
And that's where, like, the, you know, like when, if you meditate, like the Hindus, they say Om, you know, and they hold the Om.
Before
you know
every that, show, I Om, bro.
You know what the Om sound represents? Is literally the noise the earth makes traveling through the universe.
Om.
It's the hum of
I
the universe.
I did not know that.
They try to. That's what that energy is. You're manifesting the frequency that that the Earth is moving on.
It's the heart chakra 528. Yeah. This is the blade of grass. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So you're just if you get that, it's just literally you're moving with the universe. You're moving at the frequency of the universe. You know.
Mm.
So it's just trying to maintain that, and it's like, it's hard, super hard because I'm fucking human.
And like there are highs and they're fucking fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Sure. So like if you're gonna go up, you're gonna come down. And then you just need to treat yourself as compassionately as you can on the way up and down. I think like a big breakthrough for us was like when one of us would just fucking lose our shit. And for no reason, like it was one of those things where you're like, you're not making sense anymore. Like you're just making up shit, like bullshit, you know? And then like the first time I think I was like, hey, I'm embarrassed about how I just acted. Like, can I just sit in that with you for a second? Cause like, I didn't mean to say those things and they came out. And like, I
that's hard to do.
Yeah, but it was so liberating, I think, in our partnership because now we can like fuck up freely.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're, you know, continuously taking responsibility for it.
For sure. Yeah.
It's
without
not,
worry.
Yeah. Right? And like, obviously, you want to fuck up less and less. Like, it's not like, you know, go to your priest and say, like,
but that's impossible.
Yeah.
That's trying to live that perfect plan. That doesn't, that's no such thing as that.
Yeah. I know. I almost got scammed the other night.
Over what?
And I've been so embarrassed about it.
She's just not from the streets, bro. It's okay.
I've
she
been
doesn't
so
know.
So embarrassed about it.
What did you do?
It was in person. I can't believe you could scam someone in person. That's so
she almost
crazy.
Got taken on a credit card scam. These kids were just pretending that a cab wouldn't take cash, and they needed to swipe her card, and they were gonna give her cash, and the cab was unbranded. There was no branding.
Yeah. And you almost did it.
And there were two thuggy little guys. She's like, "I'll help you guys." Because she just came from an actor monologue, and she was really up here.
I
and
was
she has,
flying high. I had performed.
She has faith in humanity, all this shit.
They were young, too. They were young kids, and I was like, oh, my God, you're just cute little young kids.
And I was like,
not from Toronto.
And I turned her, and they were thugged out little fuckers. And it's like, but I know that I was that. Shut the fuck up. I was like, this is a scam. Don't be dumb. Go inside.
I
turned around and looked at them like, I'm an older wolf. See the scars? Mm. Fuck off. Mm. They got in the cabin. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And when he was like, oh, no.
And I was so embarrassed about it, but I couldn't talk about it at the time because it was too close.
That's funny.
You know, now I'm like, em. Oh, fuck.
Fuck them. They're
fuck
okay.
Em.
Also, though, now I feel like hopefully I've learned from that, you know? And
you ever scammed anyone in your life?
No.
Never?
I don't think so.
Damn, that's crazy.
Not even once. When he gives, when he...
We you can't even think of as a kid or being anything scamming someone. I've probably run a scam or two in my life. I had to have.
You know what? There was one time I was in a Miss Canada pageant.
Oh no!
As a teen, I knew that I wasn't going to win, but I knew I had a good shot at Miss Congeniality. And so at first I voted for my best friend, Ashley. This is actually making me feel a little bit uncomfortable admitting this right now. At first I voted for my best friend, Ashley, and then it was a tie. And then we had to vote again, and I voted for myself, and I won.
Nice.
So if I would have voted for her, I feel like she would have won. That was a scam. That was kind of like
no. Ashley, you heard that?
Yeah. Sorry, babe.
You have 72 hours to respond.
Love you. That's brutal. I'm my little discomforts are coming up right in my neck.
That's so funny.
That's
but
some
I don't
real
think
shit.
She watches the show. And if you do, thank you.
Thank you.
Love
Ashley.
You.
I'll make you feel a little better.
Okay.
When I was younger, I did the jump rope for heart. Collection.
I did that.
And then I never submitted the money. I kept it. I kept the money. Threw the bag in the garbage and I fucking had like $72.
We're just kids.
Because it's worth it.
I was 29 years old.
Oh my god. That's so funny.
No, I was like in grade 5 or something. I think. It was pre September 11th.
Before I got raw. Yeah. Fuck. I mean, scams. We used to, as young kids, we'd take the free bird food from the park and go around the park and sell it to people to feed the birds and ducks.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was a steel chop.
Nice. That's good.
But yeah, there's some people who do some crazy scams, like credit card scams.
You're a sick one? Okay. When I was in high school, so I went to TCI in Rexdale, and there was this like a vending machine right by the lunchroom.
Oh, sick.
Right? And it was connected to the Somalian hallway. That's what the hallway was because there's just always Somalian guys. They took over the hallway.
So, Lee, I know this.
Okay. So
there's a Persian hallway.
Yeah, right? There's... We had a hallway called Dawson's Creek Hallway because there was 12 white guys in our school and they were all in that hallway.
Dawson's!
But, okay, so this in the Somalian hallway, they had a...
I don't want to wait.
Fuck.
In the Somalian hallway, there was a vending machine right next to the calf, right? And one day, like, I was in class and I just, like, I asked to go to the bathroom or something, and it was just maybe like an hour after, or like just the first class after lunch ends. So I was like early, and I got out, and I was just wandering the hallways, you know. And I was walking through the small hallway, and as I got there, I seen this guy, like, with his hand inside the pop machine, like where the change comes out. I seen him. I'm like, what is this guy doing? And I'm watching him, and then. He pulls out a napkin, and then all his change comes out, right?
People don't get their change back, and they just leave it.
Yeah, and so he was blocking it, so the change wouldn't come out.
I did.
And then I was like, oh, shit, this is what this guy's running, right? And I remember the time, right? And then what I would do was I would wait every lunch until right after lunch ended, and before I would do it before he got to it. I would pick up his collections before he did. And I would get like $6, sometimes $12. You know what I mean? At least a toonie every time.
That's like, huge.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a come up.
I scammed the scammer.
Dude, that's a big one. Yeah. That's a sick one.
Thanks,
Very commendable. Well done.
Thanks.
Holy fuck. Yeah, we used to just straight up shoplift.
Yeah.
And rob.
This way?
I've been to a Gateway stand before.
Started at 7-Eleven, then went to London Drugs with just like Shoppers. We got caught, though, when I was in grade 8. We got caught shoplifting.
What'd they do?
I talked my way out of it.
Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah, my friend.
I didn't even shop. I was on top.
Yeah, nah, I rap away.
You're just a cop.
That was it. That was the year me and my friend Bijan He got a
sick name.
I know. Brown kid. We were just mob out together. He was fuck so yeah. sly. We'd run a good one.
Mustard motherfucker.
Bichon the Dijon. I'm sorry. No, it's funny as fuck. He got grabbed. I remember turning around looking. He was just like, oh, fuck.
You left him?
And I didn't. Okay. I didn't because I knew that he couldn't talk his way out of it, and I knew he'd rat. Mm. Straight up. So I was like, all right, let's deal with this. And we went back in, and it was fucked up because at the time, me and my mom were like living in a hotel, and I was in grade 8, and okay. It was like, shit was fucked up. So,
Worst time to get caught stealing.
It's like, yeah. How's your life? Yeah. But his dad got there first, so they called the parents. And he's like this East Indian guy. He comes in, and they're like, okay, through talking to your son and his friend, we decide we're not going to make the paperwork to send them to jail. And then he goes, no, I want to see what's going on. No, you should. I want to see what sending him to jail looks like. He was pissed.
Hell yeah.
He like wanted to punish at least his son. He was so angry. And then we were like, no, we just did fantastic work with this guy. Like, we just fucking told him that we have dreams that we know. But we had been jacking from this place for months.
That's hilarious.
Like Walkmans, headphones, batteries.
Okay, okay.
And we put like tape over the barcode,
my God.
Like electrical tape. And he's like, when he had the parents, he's like, the thing I'm concerned about is the level of intelligent thought that went into blocking the barcode. They had been watching us. And we just kept hitting the same place until we got caught. So that wasn't really a scam. That was just being a shoplifter.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, well, you scammed your way out of it.
Yeah.
I ran a mouth scam.
Yeah.
But no, like sneaky scams. Like sometimes people do like that Money Mart pickup shit.
I haven't.
You know about that? That's big in Toronto. Drake even rapped about it. I know some people who did it. Like, you would just go pick up the money with a fake alias name, and you get a chop of the cash. Yeah, I don't really understand how it happened.
It's just fraud.
It's fraud. It's straight up fraud.
It's like my buddy used to put empty envelopes in CIBC and just say, hey, put money in.
Oh, my God.
You'd deposit, you know, so you'd get money out.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Oh, and then so you could deposit it, and it would show up in the balance, and you could take it out?
Yeah. So you'd put, like, you know, an empty envelope in and say there's $1,000 in there or whatever.
And they don't know until the next business.
The next business day or whatever. Back in the day, it's just CIBC. And then, remember this guy got caught? It was so funny.
What did they even do?
Well, he got called into the police station, and then there was like, from what he told me, there was a cop into the bank, and there was cops and shit waiting for him. And they took him to the back of the bank, and they were asking why he was doing it. And he was like, some guy was beating me up and asking me for money. And then he said they let him go.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
He lied.
That's a great alibi.
He was just fucking like, I don't know, spending on stupid shit.
He's like, I have a new Gucci belt now. And I work at a bank. Shit, dude. Yeah, life is a trip like that. It's so neat, all the different areas that we go through.
Yeah.
And then we heal and we learn to look at our character.
Yeah.
I guess.
Or you start asking yourself, do I want to be this way? Am I this person?
Yeah. And, if you have a higher calling, I guess it's worth changing or evolving.
I get it. You never know anyone's situation, you know?
Yeah.
Steal if you need to. Just don't steal from me, please.
Please leave us
alone.
Please,
me too. Yeah. I'm not the right person to scam right now.
Yeah. A couple of years might be worth it. But, like, honestly, the time investment, it's not enough. Yeah. It's not a big enough of a come up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, you know what?
Steal from Drake.
Priceless shit.
Yeah, exactly.
No, there's a...
Take Drake shit.
He has a lot of shit.
Yeah, he's so much shit, bro. And he's gone all the time. Fucking.
He doesn't even need it.
Just take a shit.
Fuck, you're
funny.
You're
a delight, bro.
Where can the people find you?
I don't know. You know, Instagram.
This Corner, is amazing.
Corner Comedy Club. Fuck yeah. Check out the Backroom Comedy Club. Fucking, that's like my second home. I love that place. Other than that, I don't know.
Great.
Wherever the life decides to take me. But if you follow me on Instagram, I'll let you know if anything real is happening.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'll dump all the links in below for all of those things. And this was really fun.
Bro. Thank you for blessing us, man. That was so fun. That was so nice.
Thank you.
Following Tish. Stay up to date. Subscribe, tell a friend, send nudes to those who you're allowed to.
Tell a friend, tell a friend.
Yeah.
Tell a friend to tell two friends.
And Rob Drake is...
Yeah, Rob Drake. Come on, steal from Drake and then give it to the rest of us. Right? He has enough that we'll all get a couple bucks.
Exactly.
It's like Serb. Yeah. It's like Drake Serb. Yeah.
Steal Drake's toilet and then give the people of Toronto a rebate. We'll all get like $1.75.
It's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It's probably an expensive toilet, is what I'm trying to say. It's fucking nuts.
Oh, fuck. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Discipline stoners. What's your discipline? What's your discipline? You a stoner? That's cool. So are we.
I'm high a lot. It's weird to finally say that with pride. I'm high a lot. Being high has helped me with my anxiety. It's helped my social skills. Well, it's helped me feel okay about my shitty social skills. It doesn't make my social skills better, but it sure does make sitting in that awkward moment in a social interaction a lot more bearable. You know, that moment where no one in the group has anything left to say, and you desperately want to yell at all of them to just say something. Being high makes that hilarious and not torture.
Yo, it's 11 from Angertown. Plants just help me chill out. Found focus. Found confidence. All of a sudden I was productive. Less protective. More progressive. Yeah, we talk about stuff like I'm a next sommelier. But this is about a medicine, baby. We wish everyone a mindful life. It's been a helpful tool for us. Whatever the route to peace, each individual's journey. And the more we communicate, maybe we can all help each other out. Love and light. Welcome to Discipline Stoners Podcast with your host, 11.
And my name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And that's Ralph. I can see your energy, and I'm waiting on your frequency to rise. Before you interact with me, before you collab with me, or try, better get up on your frequency. If you tryna see me, share the same space or breathe anywhere near where I be. If you tryna get by, then your vibe gotta rise. Yeah, I'll tell you.